Joining us now is Terry Bell.
Thank you so much, Jeff, and welcome everyone to Community Comment on this very chilly Monday. We hope everybody is staying warm and safe. Our guest today is Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark. Bobby, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Wasn't too much trouble getting in?
Just a little windy, that's all.
Yeah, it is. That wind is nothing to mess with. It is for real. The cold weather made me think of something that's been ongoing that the city has been on top of, and that is finding a replacement for the homeless shelters that closed last summer, last fall, I believe. There is an effort now to, at least for the rest of this winter, have a warming station, which I believe is would be a place where people could warm up, but they could not sleep. Am I understanding that right?
Correct. Let's back up just a little bit.
Certainly.
Back when Beaver Dam used to have two homeless shelters, a women and family house and a men's house, and both of those were operated by the Central Wisconsin Community Action Council, which is a important nonprofit that is based in Baraboo, who works with the homeless population. And they were no longer able to run those two shelters for us. And so once those had closed down, the city started conversations with local stakeholders on what can we do, because the cold weather was coming and we wanted to have something in place. I think what's important for people to understand is the city of Beaver Dam itself has never actually operated a homeless facility. Those have always been operated by social service organizations, nonprofits, and the city has supported those efforts in, whatever ways they can. But in general, those activities have been historically done by other groups of people. Not the city government. But the conversation started. Larry Berkey, our city administrator, thought we should start having those conversations. And so we've been meeting since, I think, about Thanksgiving weekly with meetings of stakeholders that include people who are familiar with the homeless issue, local churches, area nonprofits, the Dodge County United Way, all kinds of people who have some insight into the homeless issue. One thing I know is, because I was not very well versed in the homeless issue, and it's very complicated, and there's an awful lot to know to try and begin to tackle the problem. So this group, when we met, the first decision was we needed to think in two paths. First, we needed a short-term solution for those people who would be facing sleeping outside when it was very cold. And then we needed to also start looking at a longer-term solution, something more permanent. And so we began by looking at the short-term issue, and after numerous discussions and explorations, Trinity United Methodist Church came forward, and I can't say enough good things about the people at Trinity United. They've been so very helpful. They had a space in their building, which was a former daycare, and they were willing to allow that space to be used as a warming place, as long as we could work out the details. And one of the things that had to happen is, according to Wisconsin state code, which the city must follow, is if you're going to have people in the building, there are certain safety standards, including fire extinguishers, fire alarms, number of bathrooms per square feet, number of exits, all those kinds of things. And so we went through the process to make sure that the facility was compliant. But one of the things that's true is if you are allowing people to sleep in a space, then there are additional safety requirements. So because of that, it was impractical. It was too difficult to allow people to sleep in that space. We cannot set it up with cots and things like that because state regulations have a higher standard of safety protocol. So our compromise to try and put something together quickly was to make it just a warming station, that it will be open, I believe, from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., maybe 7 a.m., the idea being that during the day, people have other public places that they can go. They go to the library, the Watermark, businesses, other places, but that this would be a warm place for them to be at night. And technically, according to state standards, they cannot sleep. They have to stay awake. It has to be just for warming. So that's the way it has been set up. Fortunately, we've had some very generous organizations who have agreed to fund the effort. We have at least 3 months' worth of funding in place, so it'll be operating at least till the end of March, perhaps April. Right now, the difficulty is we are looking for volunteers because we need personnel, ideally at least 2 people per shift, to work that overnight shift as just supervisory capacity to make sure that the people in the facility remain safe. So that's where we are, is we're in the process of recruiting volunteers and training volunteers. And if anyone is interested or even curious about the possibility of volunteering, they should contact Janine Haas at Trinity United Methodist.
Okay, they're in charge of organizing. I saw that the United Way had put the word out about the search for volunteers, but the Trinity Methodist Church would be the place to call if you're interested in helping?
Correct. That'd be the best place. They're going to be conducting some training. They already have some volunteers in place, and they're looking for more, and they will be conducting training.
You know, when the mayor's phone goes off in conditions, weather conditions like this, what are people talking about? What concerns are happening with city operations that are affected by, you know, such severe cold?
Yeah, well, knock on wood, so far I haven't been made aware, but I'm sure our utilities department, I'm sure they were up bright and early, as they always are, making sure that our water system is operating as it should. I know our Department of Public Works geared up, I'm sure, for the big push to make sure that the streets are usable. It's kind of just business as usual, only maybe a little more, okay. A little more intense.
Sounds like things are pretty relatively calm today, though.
Yeah, as far as I know, haven't been made aware of any issues yet, knock on wood. I know it's always probably a bigger issue for the school district, getting kids to school when it's, I know I remember lots of phone calls and text messages and things like that, trying to get the day started and getting the kids to school. Although, wait, today, they don't have school today, right?
Many schools don't. There were a couple that were planning to have some school districts in the area, a couple of them that were planning to have school today, but it got canceled, so.
Well, and I think in our district, I think, because right about now, traditionally is always the dividing line between the 2 semesters, and
yes.
So we often had in-service. So I think maybe they have in-service today, so the kids get to stay home anyway. I didn't check my school calendar morning. But
I do hope everyone is home, warm and safe, and taking good care of themselves.
Yes.
We need to take a quick break here, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Row. Coverage begins at 6:45. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. Then in Watertown, the Beaver Dam boys basketball team takes on the Goslings. Pregame coverage at 7. The opening tip set for 7:15. Beaver Dam High School boys basketball and boys hockey Tuesday night on Daily Dodge TV.
Hey, it's Stacy with Slumberland, Beaver Dam in Watertown. Our New Year's sale is going strong, and you can save up to 50% off of list prices. Check out this amazing Ashley two-piece combination with the Redmond sofa and your choice of a matching rock recliner chair or the love seat for only $599. Or take your pick with Lazy Boy chairs, anywhere from $555, and you've got your choice of five different Lazy Boy branded recliner chairs. Our Windsor accent chairs are only $149, offered in four different color options, and this amazing bunk bed for as little as $299. The Mahoney Chaise sectional is on sale for $799, available in two different color options, and take advantage of our no interest financing for up to 36 months. Our New Year's sale is going on right now, and you can save big. Shop local with us and save. Stacy with Slumberland, Beaver Dam, and Watertown.
There's something new at Jerry's BP in Beaver Dam. New ownership, same hometown feel. Stop in and check out the convenience store. You'll find hot coffee, Amish candy, Leroy's pizza, Chippy's popcorn, beer, soft drinks, and more. And when it's time to fuel up, choose the Spirit Pump. During the month of January, 2 cents from every gallon pumped at the Spirit Pump supports the Beaver Dam High School. Need service? The auto clinic at Jerry's BP is open and ready to help. James and his crew are your full-service auto center for everything from oil changes to diesel service. See James and the crew for a full synthetic oil change, starting at just $67. And ask about new tire specials. Schedule your appointment today by calling 920-219-4088. That's 920-219-4088. So whether you're fueling up, grabbing a snack, or getting your car running smooth, stop by Jerry's BP, located at 700 North Spring Street, across the street from the market in Beaver Dam.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
All right, it's minus 3 degrees out there right now at 1020. Now back to Community Comment and Terry Bell.
Thank you so much, Jeff Hall. We are joined today by Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark on Community Comment. If you have a question or a comment for the mayor, feel free to join the conversation. You can call us or text us at 920-887-8585, or you can call the studio line at 885-4446. It's everybody's favorite time of year. Property tax bills have arrived, I'm sure, at every home, and they are due at the end of this month.
Correct. It's been busy in the finance office. We see the lines of people stopping in to drop off their tax payments. Always a good time to kind of remind people, you know, basically how our tax system works. I'm proud to say that for the previous year, our mill rate, which is the amount of the percentage that is applied to the assessed value of each property taxpayer's home, actually decreased 16 cents from the previous year. So the city, I think, has done a good job of attempting to keep down costs. Last year, our mill rate was $8.04. This year, it was $7.88. So not a huge jump, but always nice to see it not increasing. What a lot of people did experience, though, is while the city tax rate did not increase, remember our tax rate is we use your assessed value multiplied by the tax rate. That's how you come up with your tax bill. And for most residents of the city of Beaver Dam, the assessed value of their property went up significantly. And so that's going to create a higher tax bill. And again, that's something out of the city's control. If you're looking to sell your house, an increase in assessed value is wonderful. Or if you're looking to get a home equity loan, an increase in value is a great thing. But if you're not, then, you know, it sometimes is a little frustrating that the value of your house causes your taxes to go up.
What's causing the evaluations to go up?
In the big picture, the bottom line is it's supply and demand, that there just aren't enough houses out there, and so the houses that are there are worth more. as time goes on because there's people who want to buy them and not enough houses to be bought. So that pushes up the assessed value.
Because there's been a lot of talk, as I'm sure you know, a lot of idle speculation about what people open up their tax bills, see it's much larger, and jump to some conclusions which may not be accurate as to why that is.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a very emotional issue for most people because for some people it means a significant increase and a strain to their budget. And so I understand that for a lot of people it's a very, they're very strong feelings about it. All the city can do is control the things they can control, which is the mill rate and our spending. We hire a professional company who does our appraisals, and it's that's totally separate from city functions, and so those are the numbers that we use when we calculate tax bills. But in almost everywhere across the country, we're seeing home values increase for the same reason, as there is a housing shortage across the country, and it's going to take years for that shortage to go away.
One expense that the city is facing for years down the line is a necessary thing, not only legally necessary, but for the health and safety of everybody, replacing lead laterals, lead pipes that were put underground to serve homes a long time ago before we understood how harmful lead can be. The federal government is requiring over the next 10 years for those lines to be replaced, and that falls on municipalities.
Exactly. And what we're specifically talking about, everybody has a water main. Now we're talking about the delivery of fresh water to homes. There's a fresh water main under the street in front of your house, but that has been replaced or never was lead. But what we're talking about are the lateral lines, which are the small individual lines that feed each house. And those lateral lines go from the water main to your home. And traditionally what we did is whenever we repaired a street, we would also inspect and replace those lateral service lines as long as, you know, we were digging the trench and had the equipment, we would replace those as needed. Unfortunately, that system is no longer appropriate because we have this timeline. We have to have all of the lead service lines in the city of Beaver Dam replaced by 2035. We have 10 years, and we have over 1,100 lead, or it's not just lead, it's also galvanized iron. So lead or galvanized iron lateral service lines that need to be replaced. So we need to start taking a more proactive approach of actually doing projects just related to the replacement of those clean water service lines. And what the council also chose to do, and this was after discussions with the utility department, they proposed that because Every home has this lateral service line that feeds fresh water to the house, but then they also have a lateral wastewater line that returns wastewater to the sewer line, which is also under the street. Again, separate system, okay. Additional pipe. But many of those lateral wastewater lines, they're not necessarily lead or galvanized, a lot of them are other materials, most of those have not been replaced since they were put in. And some of them were put in, we're talking 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago.
Oh, goodness.
And many of them are not in good repair. Many of them leak. And again, we would replace them as we would repair the streets. But now and they're in the same trench as the fresh water line. So as long as we have to dig down and replace the fresh water line, we're also going to replace the wastewater line at the same time. We wouldn't have to, but it just seems to make sense that as long as you have the trench open, do the work now and get it done. Now, of course, the problem with that is it's going to be very expensive.
So how is the city going to go about, paying for this in a way that isn't going to, put – further strain on property taxpayers?
Well, carefully, year by year. I know for the coming year, we have about $1 million in the budget between money in the utility that to pay for this, the utility budget, but then we also have about $500,000 of borrowing that we're going to have to do as part of our capital improvement plan. You know, we have a borrowing plan each year, and this is part of that borrowing plan. So that's how we're handling it for 2026. Each year going forward, we're going to have to look at the budget, and the council is going to have to decide how many more of these projects they can take on. I know that I've, you know, been reading, because this is a hot topic, because this is all across the country, not even just in Wisconsin. The EPA is a federal agency. It's a federal mandate. So every city in the country is dealing with this. And so I've been reading how some other cities have been handling it. And I know several very large cities have come right out and said, we cannot do this in 10 years. We'll shoot for 20 years, you know, whatever, that we just can't do it in 10 years. And some cities have already accomplished that task. It depends, you know, in part on how old your pipes are and how much money you have and how much street repairing you're doing. But so cities are all over the map, but I know it's a challenge.
Is 10 years a realistic goal for Beaver Dam, or are you going to have to need more time?
We're hoping to do it in 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We need to take a quick break for the news here, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Oh, I'm so sad. I'm Wally, and I'm just so sad.
What's got you feeling so down, Wally?
Oh, hey, Randy from Professional Floor Covering. I spent my new radio money on a mansion, but the floors look like a bad Facebook Marketplace ad. How am I supposed to spend all winter staring at this?
Well, wipe those tears, my dear Wally. At Professional Floor Covering, we have the perfect solution for your mansion mayhem. Like a wide selection of carpet, hardwood, laminate, LVP tile, and more. We'll measure and provide the design suggestions, all at prices you'll love. Need more than flooring? Get brand new cabinets and countertops, or a luxurious shower or tub conversion. Professional Floor Covering has everything you need to transform your space before you're shut in for the winter.
Randy, you're a hero!
That's quite the exaggeration, Wally. But when it comes to the selection at Professional Floor Covering, there's no embellishment when we say we'll find you everything. Just visit proflr.com or our showroom in Beaver Dam today and see for yourself.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the World Economic Forum kicks off in Davos, Switzerland, President Trump has texted the Prime Minister of Norway about tariffs, Greenland, and that elusive Nobel Peace Prize. Here's ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers.
The president saying this in a text: considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped eight wars plus, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace, although it will always be predominant, but now can think about what is good and proper for the United States of America.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem has issued a statement saying ICE has arrested 10,000 people in Minnesota under the Trump administration and at least 3,000 since the recent crackdown began. Train inspectors in Spain say they don't understand what happened. A high-speed train that was just inspected 4 days ago jumped the tracks, landed on another set of tracks where it was hit by another train going the opposite direction, 39 people killed. This is ABC News.
Catch Z's with Slumberland and catch all the excitement happening at 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, on now at the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
It seems like the cost of everything is going up, so it's nice to save a little dough when you can, especially for something you love to eat every day. Before I go grocery shopping, I print out a coupon for $1 off any Country Hearth, Village Hearth, or Artisan Hearth bread product. My favorite is Dakota Style 12 grain. My wife's breakfast go-to is a toasted Village Hearth English muffin. We can save a buck on each. Go to countryhearthbreads.com/coupons and print one or two out before your next shopping trip. And don't forget, Country Hearth, Village Hearth, and Artisan Hearth bread products are baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network, I'm Ted Aylin. Dangerous wind chills across Wisconsin the next couple of days. The National Weather Service has cold weather advisories in effect through midday Monday, with wind chills as low as 25 below to 40 below Fahrenheit in northwest Wisconsin. It won't be much warmer elsewhere in Wisconsin, with bitterly cold wind chills persisting statewide. Milwaukee area elected Democrats urge rejection of a proposed amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution, saying the Republican-authored resolution is intended to target diversity, equity, and inclusion. The resolution has passed the state assembly. It needs second approval from the Senate to go before voters statewide in November. And Wisconsin's official MLK Day celebration is the annual State of Wisconsin tribute and ceremony held today at the State Capitol Rotunda in Madison. It's the nation's oldest official state-level MLK Day event, featuring music, speakers, and heritage awards. Tad Allen, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Anger towards your noisy, faulty furnace should not be the only thing keeping you hot this winter.
I'm tired of this.
If your furnace can't keep up, call JB Mechanical. They'll clean and repair and keep you warm all winter. So if your self-furnace inspections sound like this...
Okay, turn it on.
What the... Oh my...
Then don't suffer through another noisy night. Take advantage of JB Mechanical's fast, friendly, professional service and get your furnace running today. Visit jbmechllc.com, a proud Trane dealer.
A winter weather advisory continues until noon today. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 2 above. West winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Lows level off around 4 below. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently, it's 4 degrees below zero.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
10:34 at WBEV. Now back to Community Comment and Terry Bell.
So much, Jeff Hall. We're talking with Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark this morning about all kinds of things affecting the city and the people who live here. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can call or text 920-887-8585. You can also call our studio line at 885-4446. And I don't know if congratulations is the right word, but you're running unopposed in the April election. So I guess, unless there's some sort of a write-in campaign that develops, you should have a clear path to another term in office. And kind of wondering how you feel about that and how you feel about, what you'd like to accomplish over your next term.
Yeah, well... I am somewhat relieved. When I ran for mayor in 2024, it was with the understanding that it was a special election and the winner of that election would simply serve out the remainder of the previous mayor, Mayor Becky's term. So when I first became mayor, for me, it was definitely a let's see how this goes experience. Do I like it? Is it something I want to continue with? And so after a year of being mayor, I had to make that decision. Am I going to run again? And so, after thinking about it, I decided that, the city of Beaver Dam has had three mayors and three different city administrators in the last 3 years, that there'd been a lot of turnover at City Hall. And so personally, I decided that it was in the best interest of the city to have me continue. I think a little stability at this point would be a good thing. So I, took out my papers and rang a lot of doorbells, got my 200 signatures. And I know there were two other people who took papers out but did not ultimately turn them in. It's a little bit of a relief for me, only because it, running a campaign takes a lot of time and energy, and this way I can focus on continuing to be mayor until the April election rolls around.
What is it that you would like to accomplish? Is it 4 years? Is it how long is a term as mayor?
In Beaver Dam, we have a very unusual setup. We have, everybody knows we have 14 aldermanic districts, and half are, and they serve 2-year terms. Half are elected every other election in the even years. So this year there are 7 districts whose alders are up for re-election. And then the mayor serves for a 3-year term.
Oh, okay.
So the mayor falls in, you know, and I think it's by design, the mm-hmm. mayor's terms fall in between the council members' terms so that there's always overlap.
Very good. I see then. Okay. So, you know, assuming that you're still the mayor in April, what would you like to get done? Is there anything that is really important to you that you really want to, you know, see over the finish line?
Yeah, well, part of what I want to do is just continue what we've been doing. The continued revitalization of downtown is one of my top priorities, and that landscape is always shifting a little bit with, you know, support and funding and all of those things always kind of developing. But while we've seen tremendous growth in our downtown, and I think the community should be really proud of what we've accomplished, there still are definitely areas and places that are in need of some tender, loving care and some support to make sure that our downtown thrives. I also, you know, like every mayor in the country, looking at housing and how can we get more housing built. I know I'm excited this Friday. We're going to be doing a ribbon cutting down at Rivers Row. That's the townhomes that have been built across from the Watermark.
That's right.
On South Center. Half of the townhomes are now complete. Some of them are already occupied. And the second half of those should be completed by the end of this year. So that's very exciting. We also, the Common Council recently approved a rezoning change for 14 apartment units that will be on the corner of Park Avenue and Lincoln, across from the Associated Bank.
Okay, sure.
They're going to be tearing down the brick building on the corner there, which used to be the dentist's office, and then the building next door to it, which was the funeral home for many, many years. They're going to be tearing both of those buildings down to make way for the apartments. The long garage that served the funeral home, that they will leave as parking for tenants, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's going to really change the look of that corner, making it apartments instead of business. So we just continue to, you know, there are talks right now that there aren't any other additional, you know, committed housing projects, but there are discussions on 3 or 4 different fronts of various developers who are looking to find a way to come to Beaver Dam. So
I imagine that's too early in the process to be able to talk about.
Correct.
On the radio.
Yeah.
Okay, I respect that. That's fine. But, you know, housing, you know, and it's been discussed many times, and we just, you know, on this show, and when we talk about property tax, it certainly would be helpful to people paying their property taxes in Beaver Dam if there are more people to share that burden.
Exactly. That the city can only raise taxes equal to the increased and total assessed property value from the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have any growth, if we don't have any new construction, you know, it's the net new construction rule. If we don't have any net new construction, then we, you know, the level of taxation the city can use is, you know, stays the same. But of course, expenses do not. So yeah, the city's always happy when we get some expansion for a variety of reasons, not just for tax reasons, but.
Forgive me if I'm getting the terminology wrong, but I believe that the city is just cashing out the last of its COVID relief money being able to apply that to some things going on around town.
Yeah, we called them ARPA funds, American Recovery and Protection Act. I don't remember what it all stood for anymore. But last... maybe November, mm-hmm. the council approved the last of those funds going. The actual places that those funds were going had been decided long ago, but they just hadn't been we just hadn't expended them. And so the council, you know, kind of closed those accounts by saying, yes, okay, expend these dollars, and ARPA funds are now, that account is now closed.
Certainly. And what is the last of that money going to be used for?
I have to think.
I know there was discussion of, maybe I'm thinking of another fund, maybe I'm thinking of the Department of Natural Resources, but concrete paths for Swan Park, wider and safer. The DNR, right?
Well, we received a DNR grant for that, and we also used city CIP dollars for that particular project, which that's exciting that they'll be working on that this summer. Let's see. I know that we put some money into the downtown facade program fairly early on in the ARPA process. I apologize. I can see a long list in my head.
I didn't mean to ask you a question you weren't prepared for, so that's on me, too. So
I know we did a transportation study looking at ways we could improve the efficiency of our public transportation.
Okay.
That was part of our ARPA push.
Mm-hmm. But that chapter is closed now. And I guess, you know, was the money up? I mean, the idea was to, you know, help cities get through the pandemic. And now that the pandemic is, you know, several years in the rearview mirror, you know, how do you feel we came through this chapter in history?
Well, again, I wasn't on council when they first received ARPA funds. When I joined council, the conversation, they were mid-conversation about what to do with these dollars. And the philosophy of the dollars was supposed to be that it gave communities an opportunity to do projects, and there was sort of a list of, you know, things that were aimed about the lessons we learned during the pandemic, such as we need to maintain our public spaces and our outdoor spaces because that's what people were using during COVID. They took advantage of those. The funds were supposed to help local communities foster all of those things and improve them or strengthen them for the next pandemic. And so I think Beaver Dam did a good job of using them in the spirit in which they were intended, looking at ways that we can make some concrete changes to our community, improve our parks, improve our transportation infrastructure, all of those kinds of things to help make sure we're prepared for the next pandemic.
Very good. We're talking with Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark on this edition of Community Comment. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Hi, this is Sherry Sackett from the WBEV Morning Show, and I'm inviting you to join me for the trip of a lifetime. This October, we're heading to Ireland with Colette Tours and Memory Making Travel. But space is limited, so now is the time to reserve your spot. We'll explore the many shades of Ireland, from historic Dublin to kissing the Blarney Stone, standing atop the spectacular Cliffs of Moher, and traveling the breathtaking Dingle Peninsula coastal route. We'll soak in the beauty of Killarney, enjoy a taste or two at a historic whiskey distillery, and even stay overnight in a medieval castle. Enjoy all of that and so many more memory-making opportunities. Best of all, Colette handles everything. Flights, hotels, meals, and unforgettable local experiences. Your only job? Have the time of your life. Availability is limited, so don't miss your chance to be part of this unforgettable journey. Book right now by calling Holly at 262-707-3342 or visit dailydodge.com.
As we all live longer, age really is just a number, but retirement is so much more than one. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Monica Magali, and I want to know what retirement means to you. Together, we can take a look at the big picture and make a strategy to help you reach your goals. Because you can't prepare for the unexpected if you don't know where you're headed. Call me at 920-392-5181 or stop in at 203 Corporate Drive, Suite 300 in Beaver Dam today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Level up your year at Get Fit Health Club. Get fit, get going, join now and save $20 on a single membership or $40 on any couple or family membership. Crush your goals with group exercise classes, powerful cardio, and fitness equipment. No excuses, an indoor walking and running track, no weather worries, plus gymnastic classes, tanning specials, and we're open 7 days per week. This is your year. Start it strong. Get Fit Health Club, Beaver Dam. Get fit, get going, join now.
There's no better time than right now to take care of yourself. Marshfield Clinic Primary Care helps you stay on track with screenings and vaccinations, or to simply connect on your overall well-being. Visit marshfieldclinic.org/primary care.
Save big money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And located at Professional Floor Covering is Pro Edge Sharpening. Full service blade of sharpening of all kinds of blades. If it has an edge, they will sharpen it. Get those lawnmower blades in now. Saw blades, drill bits, hole saws, knives, scissors, chipper blades, egg blades, and almost everything else with an edge. That's Pro Floor, Pro Edge Sharpening, 920-887-8341. Now back to our final segment of Community Comment. Once again, here is Terry Bell.
Thank you so much, Jeff. There's still time to join the conversation with Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark. You can call or text 920-887-8585. Or you can call our studio line at 885-4446. Just a little bit of time left, but before we get back to the agenda, I got sidetracked, and while we were talking about your re-election in your next term, presumptively, I forgot to ask about the council election in April, and seven seats that were up, and there will only be two contested races out of a potential seven. I was kind of struck by the lack of activity at the city clerk's office in the minutes before the deadline. So I guess, and a lot of people are well aware, being an alder is a big time commitment, doesn't pay a lot. And, there could be a number of reasons why there doesn't seem to be that much interest in this form of public service.
First, I want to say I would disagree. Okay. It's not a huge time commitment. I think that's one misconception.
Okay, good.
It's an extremely part-time job. I would say the average month you're looking at maybe an 8 to 10 hour per month commitment.
Okay,
and it kind of ebbs and flows, but alders, it's definitely a very, very part-time job. So I think
glad
people,
we got that straight.
Yeah, well, okay. and the time commitment is very doable. But I know it's not just a problem in Beaver Dam. We're just seeing lower levels of public engagement, across the board. There are all kinds of discussions about potential solutions. I know here at the local level, we've talked about reducing the size of our council, thinking that if there are fewer seats, that means there's more people in each district, and then that will increase the pool of candidates to fill those slots.
Right, and there was also all kinds of different sizes is our proposed number of districts, that is, and one is maybe to throw in as many as perhaps a couple of at-large districts, people all over the city would vote for, not just in one district.
Exactly. Again, just trying to open it up and give opportunities to people to serve, maybe make it a little easier. I know that right now we've had discussions about changing the size of the council in the past, and I know every so often the subject comes up again. The soonest we could do that would be with the 2030 election, because what has to happen, the first step would be, if we're going to go from 14 districts to some other number of districts, is we have to take the most recent census numbers, and then the city clerk would have to devise new districts. And the goal is to create districts that have approximately the same number of residents in each of them, and that aren't too, you know, bizarrely shaped, that they're relatively contiguous. So yeah, it's like I said, it's been an ongoing discussion since I got on council in 2022, and I have a feeling it will come back around.
Okay. We want to be sure to talk about some other things you came here to talk about. One of them is signing up for the Citizens Police Academy.
Yes, this is the 21st year for our Citizens Police Academy, and the sign-up date is February 15th. So if you're looking for a great opportunity, this program meets on Thursday evenings from 6 to 10. And it runs from March to early June, early March to early June. And it provides training for citizens to get a real life understanding of what a police officer's job is like. So they go through, you know, OWI investigations, all kinds of tactics and things like that. How to operate a squad car, high-speed pursuit, all kinds of really fun and exciting things. So if you're interested in potentially being a member, it's limited to 12 participants. There's no charge to sign up, but you just must be 18 years of age and have no criminal background. And preference is given to those who work, live, or own property in the city. So a great opportunity. And I know I've spoken to people who have attended over the years, and they say it's just really, really fun and mm-hmm. exciting.
And enlightening, too, I imagine. I'm guessing part of the mission of this is to, you know, I think people don't understand police work very well. They understand it much better once they've gone through the Citizens Academy.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Okay. And some winter fun coming up. Cabin Fever Fest.
Yes, everybody should reserve Saturday, January 31st. The city's Parks and Recreation departments are planning a day of all kinds of indoor and outdoor fun at locations all across the city. It's very exciting. We have all kinds of partners who are going to be holding a variety of events. There are two events which you must register for ahead of time. Mm. One is the Chili and Soup Cook-Off.
Okay.
So if you're interested in entering your chili or your soup, please contact that. That event is going to take place at Trinity United Methodist Church. So call the church office to sign up. But then on the day of the event, anyone can pay $3 a bowl, and then you'll get a chance to vote for your favorites, which will help determine the winners of the cook-off. So that will be fun. All the money for that is going for St. Vincent de Paul.
Okay.
There's also an event called Puzzle Palooza.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a team puzzle event. There will be prizes for the top three teams plus door prizes all morning. You can have a one or two person team or a 3 to 4 person team. So there's two different times for those. There is a registration fee for each team to help pay for the prizes. But if you're interested in entering a puzzle team, you can go to the Watermark or call the Watermark. There's also an online form that you can fill out for Puzzle Palooza. So I think that's going to be exciting, and that's going to take place at the Watermark on Saturday, with the opening round starting at 9:30 for the larger teams. There's also going to be a Magic, the card game session at the Chamber of Commerce, and this is for both experienced and beginners. There will be a workshop teaching you how to play, and then there will be a tournament, and that's all free at the Chamber. at Bricks and Minifigs up on Francis Lane. There is a Lego contest for both beginner and experienced builders starting at 10 in the morning and going all afternoon.
All right.
So if Legos are your thing, stop in at Bricks and Minifigs. There'll be lots going on there. There'll be a pottery firing, which is a Japanese technique where they build a big fire and they put, and it's
good,
at Art on the Town out in the back area there.
Sure.
There's going to be, of course, sledding, ice skating, a bonfire, all kinds of s'more making, weenie roast, all kinds of things going on at Crystal Lake. At Tahoe Park, there'll be a kite building and flying session. Yeah, along with other family activities. The library has their polar games, which are for children to come. They'll have a variety of winter-themed indoor games for kids to play. That's sponsored by both Noble Clinics and the City Library. There will be a variety of other activities at the Watermark. There's going to be an artist's market. There will be food. There is crafts that will be available. There's going to be an outdoor fire and cooking and camping demonstration at Crystal Lake Beach. So all kinds of things to get people out of the house and out into the community and enjoy a wintry day in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people want to find out more, how would they do that?
They can go on Facebook and just Google Cabin Fever Fest Beaver Dam. Mm-hmm. They can check with the City Parks and Rec Department. Also, they have lots of information and more information to come.
Very good. Well, Mayor Bobby Mark, the hour has flown right by. It's been time well spent. We want to thank you for coming in on a very cold day and helping us out here on Community Comments.
Always a pleasure, Terry.
Very good. You're listening to 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dot.